Witness of Ancient Wisdom, Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. People do not light a lamp and put it under the bushel basket. Rather, they put it on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Witness of Modern Wisdom, Reverend Dr. Otis Moss III, from his address to the World Communion of Reformed Churches General Council, October the 16th, 2025. The challenges in the world today may be daunting, and we may be tempted to lose our salt quality or cover our light, Moss said. Our individual light may not look like much, but if we dare take our light and join together, we can create a blaze to illuminate the world. We will no longer have a little light, but a blaze to illuminate the gospel, empower the poor, liberate the oppressed, set the captives free, declare the year of the Lord's favor, and bless our planet. God is still speaking, and we are still listening. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Tony. Will you pray with me? Merciful God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our help and our Redeemer. Amen. Jesus tells his disciples, all who are gathered there for the Sermon on the Mount, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. I needed to hear that this week. Hear that, not try a little harder or keep working at it, and someday, just you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. This affirmation today comes immediately after the Beatitudes that we read last week, where he names the blessed, not the rich or powerful, but the poor in spirit, the meek, the mourners, those who hunger for justice. He says to the crowd, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. These two very familiar metaphors. It's hard to overemphasize how essential salt was in the ancient world. You have to try to imagine a world before refrigeration. Salt preserved food, it healed wounds, it was used to cleanse and purify. And it mattered so much that Roman soldiers were paid a salarium of salt. It was giving us the word salary. But you could find it by the sea or in mineral deposits in the ground. Salt was not especially special or glamorous, but it was very useful. Salt helped make life livable. More than that, as the kids noted, it makes life enjoyable. It brings flavor. A lamp, too, was something ordinary and yet precious. You think about, again, before mass production, every lamp had to be carefully shaped out of clay and by hand. Oil had to be pressed from olives, which was a laborious process of picking and then crushing and turning it into oil. But it was part of the everyday costs of life. It was an important thing to have a lamp. Again, life was made possible, livable, safe, comforting, and warm because of light. So, of course, no one would light a lamp and hide it under a bushel. No! No! The thing about light is it doesn't argue with darkness. It simply makes visible what is already there. Jesus says again, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Again, Jesus is not talking about what we should become, but what we already are, and how our presence, our witness, actually matters in a world that can sometimes be indifferent or even outright cruel. On January 15th in Gresham, a 7-year-old girl named Diana had a persistent nosebleed that wouldn't quit. And in the middle of the night, her mom and her dad rushed her to Adventist Health in Southeast Portland. But in the parking lot, just as they were about to enter the hospital, they were detained by federal immigration agents. They were barely steps from the doctor when agents surrounded their car, took them into custody, and the family, who has an active asylum case, was by definition in this country legally, was transported to Dilley, Texas, where they were put in detention. The same facility where 5-year-old Liam Ramos, the boy in the blue hat with floppy bunny ears, was held. And after 3 weeks, after public outcry and advocacy from elected officials, Liam is home again with his father in Minneapolis, and Diana and her parents are home again in Gresham. These stories remind us how life can be fragile, and sometimes harm visits places that we would otherwise assume are safe. Hospitals and schools and homes. Across the country, U.S. citizens are being told to carry their passport lest they be mistakenly detained. Citizens carrying passports. That's where we are as a country right now. And across the country, new detention facilities are being bought and built and expanded. And I want to say about those, these warehouses with cages are places where the lights shine all night, where lights are not turned off. Which makes it very difficult to sleep. It creates a sense of disorientation. Now, these are the places where Jesus' call to be light is, I believe, urgent. A call to reveal what is happening, to insist that human dignity not be ignored, and to stand faithful where life is most fragile. To us, Jesus says again, you are salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. A few verses after teaching about salt and light, Jesus says something else that I found interesting. He says, I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Indeed, he tells them, if they are to be holy, they must go beyond the scribes and the Pharisees, if they hope to enter the kingdom of heaven. Everyone knew that they were the strictest adherents to the law. How can you out-fundamentalist a fundamentalist? That's what Jesus is telling them. If you'll be holy, you must be more holy than them. Jesus isn't dismissing the law. Rather, he is calling it back to its deepest intention, to justice and mercy, compassion and the protection of human life, all of life. Now, this week in Washington, D.C., Congress is debating funding for the Department of Homeland Security, which includes ICE. Not to mention that we've just passed the big, beautiful bill, which gave an incredible amount of money to the Department of Homeland Security. They're arguing about the funding. And many are demanding reforms, and their demands are simple, requiring signed judicial warrants to enter a home. We have a Fourth Amendment, after all. Banning face masks during raids, mandating body cameras for accountability. Others argue ICE can simply not be reformed. It must be abolished. To me, these don't seem like radical ideas for law enforcement in a free nation. But I want to say these debates are about more than just political policies. These are moral questions. Moral questions about who we will be as a nation. Does this system protect life? Does it honor human dignity? Does it reflect both the purpose and the spirit of the law? I don't think Liam or Diana are the worst of the worst. But these are the questions the gospel invites us to consider. I want to say it's Super Bowl Sunday, and I'm sure we'd prefer not to think about politics until tomorrow, at least. Well, be that as it may, there's a moment from our culture that caught people's attention this last week. The musician Bad Bunny from Puerto Rico, who is headlining tonight's Super Bowl halftime show, has used his platform at the 2026 Grammy Awards to say, "ICE out," and affirm the humanity of immigrants, declaring, "We are not savages. We are humans, and we are Americans." People tend to forget that Puerto Rico is America. His message urged that the only thing more powerful than hate is love. And the audience gave him a standing ovation. Whether or not you follow his music, there is something I say that Christians should notice here. He recognized the platform he was on, and he used it to speak truth to power in defense of the vulnerable. That, my friends, is salt, standing and speaking out where lives are at risk. And that is light, making visible what others would prefer to remain hidden, and pointing to love over hate. Now, many churches, many pastors, even me, would probably rather not weigh in publicly on our immigration debate. It would seem that many American Christians, American churches, have lost their salt. But I would say we cannot afford to lose our flavor. We cannot afford to hide our light under a bushel. The gospel calls us to rise, to shine, and to preserve life and dignity in all the ordinary and extraordinary places where it is present. For Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." Amen.
Amen.
I also want to say, because it sometimes feels like we just keep heaping more work on our shoulders, that I already see all of the faithful work that you are doing. How you are showing up in mutual aid for your neighbors, sharing food and care and presence. How you're standing on street corners with signs, making your compassion visible? Are you supporting your neighbors and family, sometimes quietly but steadily? This is salt refusing to lose its saltiness. This is light refusing to remain hidden. Jesus goes on to speak about various laws, but I want to say he doesn't give them all a checklist of all the things they have to do. That's not how Jesus works. Instead, he invites them into discipleship, to follow him. He reminds them of their identity and then trusts them to discern what it means to live and act according to the ethic of love and justice, holding the powerful accountable, showing up in solidarity with the marginalized. Now, here are the questions I keep asking as your pastor. What would it mean to be salt and light in our community now, in this moment, and in the next moment, and the moment after that? Where is life fragile here? Where is harm hidden? Where does fear or fatigue try to convince us that showing up won't matter? For some of us, salt and light will look like visible presence, advocacy, accompaniment, public demonstrations. For others, it will look quiet and steady, like caring for a loved one in their home, or having difficult but necessary and meaningful conversations, or just showing up in small acts of kindness and mercy. But for all of us, I believe it begins with refusing to look away, refusing to be silent. I say this is not about earning God's approval. Jesus already declared us salt and light. It's about noticing where God's light is already breaking in and choosing not to hide it. May we have the courage to say, stay salty enough to matter and bright enough to tell the truth, not in accusation, but in love, not in fear, but in faithful presence, not hiding in safety, but shining where life is fragile. You, my friends, are salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Bless you and bless us. Amen.